Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you through God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, our dear Savior, who loves us. God our Father loves us. He loves men. I want to talk to men this morning. In Genesis, in our Old Testament reading, we read that a husband, a man, should leave his mother and father and cleave or hold fast to his wife. What I found fascinating was, even both before the fall and after the fall, we always see God as a very compassionate God. He loves us so much. Here, Adam is all alone. And so God, in his mercy and compassion and kindness, creates for him a helpmate. Even after the fall, the first promise of the gospel, Genesis 3:15. Adam and Eve had fallen into sin, and the first thing they hear from God regarding the future is that Jesus Christ, the only one ever born the seed of a woman, would crush the serpent. He would taste death on our behalf, that we might have eternal life and forgiveness. So men are called to hold fast to their wife. Men are called to love their wife and their children. What does that mean? Well, we always let Scripture interpret Scripture. And so I'd like to focus a little bit on Ephesians chapter 5, where it talks about how Christ loved the church. And this Scripture says, as Christ has loved the church, so also men, you are to love your wife. I want to read that. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Eve fell into sin, but who was responsible? It was Adam. Because he is called to be the head of the church. Adam is to be the head of, well, Christ is the head of the church. Adam to be the head of the family, head of the marriage. And so in Romans chapter 5, verse 15, we read that in Adam all die, but in Christ, by the grace of God, verse 16, the last word is justified, that in Christ we are all justified, found not guilty, declared not guilty because of what Jesus Christ has done. All this is very important. So men, you have not only a responsibility, but I think a privilege, but also a responsibility to be the head of the home. What does that mean? How is it that I'm the head of the home? Certainly not, it does not mean to lord over, but rather to be as Christ, one who is sacrificing of himself, one who places the church above himself. And so we too, we give. God so loved the world that he gave. Love. Men, if you say that you love your wife, you will see in your life something where you are giving of your time, sacrificing one of your needs for theirs. Love is always giving. I was thinking, I think about this young man in Iraq. When I think about a man who loves his wife, he married somebody a little bit older than he was. He was in Iraq. This was in 05, and his wife had some circumstances that it was such that she was literally getting some death threats. He cannot get home. There are very strict rules about getting leave. And this did not constitute a marriage because it wasn't you know, there wasn't something from the law. In fact, he called the local officer who he knew, "Can't you do something?" "No, I can't." Somebody's threatening his wife, but he's in Iraq, 1,000 miles away. He can't do anything more than 1,000. But he did do something. He got up at 3 o'clock every morning. I mean, here was a guy who felt extremely helpless. His wife is on the phone. She's crying all the time. She's literally afraid for her life, and nobody seems to want or seems to be able to help her. And all he wants to do is get on a plane, get home, and fix the problem. He'll fix it. He'll go to that person's home, drag him to the police station or whatever. But he can't. He's there, so all he can do is get on the phone and listen. And listen. And listen. Because, you know, women have like 25,000 words to speak in a day, and we men have about 10,000. So since it was late in the day, you know, he was all done saying his 10,000 words, and she still had a few more to go. But most of all, because she was in pain, and he wanted to do whatever he could. Love is always giving. But love is more than that. As the head of the household, consider the rest of these verses. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that the church might be holy and without blemish. The focus of Christ's love for the church is your standing before God. It's not, as much as we men like to rationalize and use our sin-tainted reason to think that what's more important this weekend is that I buy a new skidoo. I'm from Michigan. Snow machine. I guess here it'd be a water machine, but whatever. He doesn't focus on all the great blessings of the earth. Jesus isn't promising here that he's going to present everyone without any problems whatsoever. You're not going to have, you come to church, you won't have any health problems at all. That's not what, there's no promise there. What he focuses on is giving himself unto death, being perfect in our stead, that he may present each and every one of us spotless, without blemish. When you get to heaven, God is going to see you as absolutely perfect. Even now, through faith in what Christ has done for you, God sees you as perfect, without blemish. Though your sins are as scarlet, they are as white as snow. As the head of the house, men, you have not only the responsibility, but the privilege to orient your priorities so that they have everything to do with your wife and your children and their standing before God, so that you bring before them all that God has done for them in Christ Jesus. We pray for our wife. We pray for our children, that they may know the height, the depth, the width, the length, the magnitude of God's love, so that our wives know beyond a shadow of a doubt, through our word and through our disposition, that we not only love you, but because of Christ's love for us, we forgive you and we proclaim to you the forgiveness of sins in Christ, our dear Savior. We want our children to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are forgiven. God has declared them not guilty. This is why we bring out the Bible at home, and we take some time, we sacrifice the time that we could be changing our oil. Of all things, I could be changing my oil, but I'm doing this instead. Oh, Lord, help me. But it is such a wonderful thing, oops, to be able to do that. To be able to bring Christ to our wife and our kids. By the way, I wanted to put a plug in. If you don't have this amazing new Bible from CPH, the Concordia Study Bible, that has as a wonderful blessing Lutheran theologians who wrote the commentary, so that, I kid you not, almost every page, it's like every page points you to the cross, because the commentators have got it right. It's all about Jesus. And so, again, I encourage men to take their leadership with intentionality, with a God-given desire to present Christ and Him crucified first and foremost to our wife and our children. This means making a commitment to go to Bible study, to say, I don't feel like it, I don't want to, but this is my calling from God, to be a father, to be a husband, to learn that I may again help them to understand the depth of God's love, that He will never leave them or forsake them. And elders, I ask that you pray for your elders. Our elders are more like the deacons in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And of those deacons, it says that one of the qualifications is that they understand the mystery of the love of God in Christ, and that they do so with a clear conscience. So pray that your elders will make an example, be an example, that they will commit themselves, because they are making decisions on behalf of the church of Christ, our dear Savior, so that they make a commitment to go to Bible class and to learn. So that when you call them at 2 o'clock in the morning because you're stressed out or you're having difficulty or you've read a Bible verse or something and you're not sure what it means, that they will always know what Scripture says and not give you their thoughts or their reason or their advice, but rather say, this is what God's Word has to say. Council members, I beg you as well, leaders of the church, you have a responsibility to hear the Word of God, to know and understand how Christ and what He has done for you, that you stand before God cleansed by the Word. May God grant all men here this morning a desire to understand their sinfulness. In fact, the question is of how is it that I, as a sinful husband and father, how can I do this? Luke 7:47. The woman who comes to Jesus to wash his feet with her hair, and the Pharisees say, oh, yuck. Oh, gross. If he only knew what kind of woman this was, he'd just throw her out of the house. And Jesus responds, she loves much because she has been forgiven much. Men, we are the chief of sinners, and yet God loves sinners like us. He has forgiven us of all of our sins. This is the power behind the desire to pray. Psalm 51, create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. Help me to be the head of the household. Help me to pray for my wife and my children. Help me to put aside my own needs and to love them, to give to them first and foremost, but most of all, to bring to them on a daily basis all that you have done for us in Christ, our dear Savior. May God grant men strength and power and the understanding that God loves you and he has forgiven you of all of your sins. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.